This is the websites.ca podcast, where we help Canadian small businesses build and maintain an effective website and online presence.
Hello, everybody. Sean Corbett here again, websites.ca marketing. We have most of our audience's favorite topic today, SEO, and we're joined by a repeated guest for us, Jacob Kettner. And Jacob, I understand that you're putting together a course for business owners and maybe even sort of, like marketers working within the business, how to do some comprehensive SEO. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, Sean. I think something that we've seen so much of as SEO has become more popular is that, you know, maybe when we got started or when I got started with SEO a decade ago, it was a fairly low competition space and it was fairly easy to rank for things. And now being more competitive in some of the major areas, sometimes that sticker price to work with an agency to play the SEO game is prohibitively expensive for some newer, smaller businesses. So I really want to help open up, kind of pull back the veil on SEO. I don't think it needs to be like this secret society type industry, and help internal marketing people, business owners, really whoever wants to learn, learn best practices and how they can benefit from SEO internally.
Perfect. So yeah, so everybody listening, if you're ready to do better on Google, then this is going to be the podcast episode for you. So I'll jump right into it, Jacob. I was looking over some of the sort of the course, pre-course landing page before we got on this recording, and I found a really interesting line that jumped out to me. So the line was, the majority of SEO is about content structure and digital PR. Could you just expand a little bit on that statement for our audience?
Yeah, for sure. So I mean, the concept of SEO is very simple. Google wants to display the best results that give their users the best answers that they're looking for at the top, so that people continue to use Google and get results they're looking for and click on their ads and make the money. So our job is really just to understand what factors Google's looking at to assess quality or relevance. And it mainly falls into two buckets. Really, there's, I guess, three buckets. But the content comes down to relevancy and how well the content on the page answers the query that somebody's typed in. And not just the query, but also what their next query might be. Like, it's, for example, if you're searching for, like, real estate prices in Vancouver, maybe the next thing you're going to search is schools in Vancouver or weather in Vancouver. And so, like, getting all of the information that somebody might need onto a page. And then the authority side of things is kind of it's what we talk about as off-page SEO. So when, I said digital PR, I mean, how do we get other websites or properties online to mention or reference or link back to our content? And the more sites and the more relevant those sites are and the higher quality they are that are referencing and linking back to our site, the more credibility we get in Google's eyes. So to boil down, over 200 ranking factors that Google looks at, it basically comes down to content quality and digital PR.
Yeah, I think people hear the words Google ranking factor. They start picturing maybe tech wizardry and programming and all this kind of stuff. But obviously what you're saying is it's a lot more psychology, manually sitting down, actually picturing what the customer or potential customer is looking for and then where they want to go next. And that's why I think it's actually, for me in many ways, doing SEO in-house, under the guidance, of course, of someone like yourself, can be even more beneficial than having an agency, because the agency has to then go and get in the brain of the business owner, who has to go and get in the brain of their ideal customers. So it's one step removed, right? Like, it's kind of hard for an agency, that first stage is digging into that, not doing technical programming, wizardry type stuff.
Right. And yeah, and I mean, there is a technical component, but it's a lot, it's easier, it's more complicated, but like for a developer, it's easier because it's quite black and white. It's sites they need to load in a certain, like in under a second, ideally. They need to be mobile responsive, they need to be secure. There's like, there's all these technical things that like, yes, they need to be done. But it's almost the easy part because it's
yeah.
objective, right?
Again, no psychology involved with that, no personal knowledge in the industry, you know, in the niche industries involved in that. They just have to know what they have to do, don't even have to really know much about the customer or the target.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, so with that out of the way, I guess, you know, we don't want you to give away the whole thing here, right? Mostly we're just looking for an overview. But when we're talking about the course that you're going to put on, what are the main issues that you'll be covering? And why do you think small businesses struggle with them in the first place?
Yeah, so I think I have two answers for you here. One of them is, and it doesn't sound super exciting or sexy, but it's understanding keywords and search intent and competition, because you know, when businesses come in to work with FirstRank on the agency side, oftentimes they come in with a very broad, you know, what we call a broad keyword target. They'd say, okay, I'm a pooper scooper. I clean up dog poop around your house, so I want to rank for dog poop cleanup. And like, it's not that that doesn't make sense, but oftentimes, you know, that, and I chose a very low competition example, so maybe that's an easy thing to go after. I was trying to be silly. But, you know, we could be a lot more specific, right? We could get down to what types of dogs they clean up poop after, you know, what neighborhoods they work in. You know, are they an expensive option or a premium option, or like what are people looking for? Does somebody specifically want do they want a male pooper scooper or a female pooper scooper? Again, yeah. Horrible example, but you know, breaking down, and oftentimes a business will have a specialty. So like if we think about something like a little bit more realistic, like you know, say like a dentist, you know, ranking at the top of Google for like dentist in a city, say Calgary, sure, it'll drive lots of business, but it's going to be very competitive, and you're going to be competing against people hiring agencies with high budgets, versus if you're a dentist that specializes on a very specific procedure. Maybe you use a freezing technique that nobody else uses, or you know, you specialize in implants or something. Really breaking down those search terms and then building the site around those categories and driving the most targeted traffic for that's staying away from the big competition, right? Mm-hmm. And the other side is Google Business Profiles. So they're just getting massive. So basically when you do a search, well, more and more people are searching directly in Google Maps. We've seen that increase every year. But even searching in regular Google, you still get like the three maps listings at the top usually.
Yeah.
And those are highly influenced by reviews, as well as location of the user. So they're great for local businesses that serve people in their neighborhoods or surrounding neighborhoods, because really a strong focus on review generation there, and a few other processes that you can follow fairly simply. Can have by far the biggest return on investment of any SEO activity. So,
and to clarify on that maps point, so let's say I'm out driving, and I, like you said, they're searching right within maps. So I'm in my car, I pull out my phone. I don't even type in near me. I go right to maps and I type in whatever it is, the service or business that I want, you know, type of business that I want. Is it true that even if, you know, the closest business to me doesn't have as many good reviews, isn't listed in the top three in the maps pack, is Google still going to show it to me because it's the closest?
No, it's not entirely true, but it is. Okay. If there were no other factors, then it would. So basically, you can think of location relevance as an overlay over everything else. So one listing might be likely to rank better because it has good SEO. It has lots of, you know, off-page mentions and citations and whatnot, and it's got lots of reviews and positive reviews. And then you take the location overlay and you put it on top of that. So that one, you know, say the best Google profile in the city. I'm in Winnipeg. Say the best Google profile for Pooper Scoopers in Winnipeg is in, you know, far, far, far on the north side of the city. You know, it would, if there was no location overlay, it would rank number one all the way across the city. Because there's a location overlay, it'll rank number one for, you know, maybe, you know, depending on the industry and competition, say 10 kilometers around the location. But that means that if there's a weak profile that's within that 10 kilometer radius, it'll, even if you were closer to that one, it'll still get beat out by the stronger profile.
Got it. So that's still why it's so, so important to get in there and beef up the profile. Why do you think that small businesses struggle with that? Because it's like, it's listing their address, putting up a picture of their logo, putting up, making sure the hours are accurate. It doesn't seem like it's that, unless I'm missing something, obviously, it doesn't seem like it's that much of a big ask.
I agree completely.
It's a good thing that it's a big ask, because then you get to come in and get paid handsomely for helping them. But still, why do you think
it's not difficult? I think a lot of smaller businesses are just so focused on providing the service that they provide, or the quality of their service, managing people. Like there's so many things that go into running a business. And yeah, even in a dedicated marketing department, they can be working on graphics, flyers, Facebook, whatever. So I think it's just something that gets overlooked, not because it's difficult, but because I think people underestimate the impact. And I mean, the reviews, like today, and I've talked about this on your podcast before, but you know, if today your top competitor has 100 reviews and you have 5, you're 6 months away from having more reviews than them with a good review generation strategy. And you know, in 5 years from now, if you were not proactive about that today, now your top competitor has 5,000 reviews and you have 5, and it's, yeah, it becomes insurmountable. So there's a huge opportunity right now to beef up those review profiles.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big takeaway someone can take from our talk today, is that it just has to go on the priority list and then it has to get done. Like you said, not super difficult, but actually has to be targeted and then has to be done.
Yeah. I mean, generally, like in both of my businesses and we, there's many softwares that do it. I don't want to plug my own, but we developed a software that also does it, but just that plugs into a CRM or an accounting software and mm-hmm. automatically sends out those requests when the customer's finished and gets back the feedback from them. And it's just, if it's something that a human has to think about and remember, it often doesn't get done. So,
oh no, that sounds helpful. Please do plug it. How can people find that?
it's called First Rank Reviews, firstrankreviews.com. And basically automates that outreach process. And then also has an optional internal feedback form that you can send people to first, that where they can give feedback about their experience, and then you know, we can choose whether or not we want to ask for a public Google review based on whether or not they had a positive experience internally. So
nice. And that hooks up with, say, HubSpot, Keep, all that kind of stuff.
It connects through Zapier, so pretty much any like a lot of small businesses we work with don't necessarily, so like, yes, it would connect with HubSpot through Zapier, but a lot of businesses that don't have CRMs would connect it to like QuickBooks Online or Xero or something, and that works as well.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so, and then for people who don't know, obviously, just listing Zapier is something you should just Google, Zapier. It's a way to connect disparate software. Is very, very handy. And in many cases, for basic connections, it's free. So that's something we want to put on your radar as well. Glad you brought that up. So I didn't mean to derail you, Jacob. We were talking about some of the main issues, and we were settling on, you know, the business profile and stuff like that. Are there other big issues covered in the course that we haven't spoken about yet today?
Those are some big ones. We do talk a bit about just website security. I think that oftentimes businesses don't realize that they're like, why would anybody want to hack our website? There's no sensitive information there. They can't get any money for it. Like, why would you hack a local roofers website, and what they don't realize is that, and I'm sure you see this like at websites.ca, you probably have clients come in that didn't have their sites managed with you where they've been hacked. It's software, like it's not a human being like, oh, I want to hack this site. It's software that finds vulnerabilities en masse, generally, with content management systems, and then puts up pages. Like actually a really fun thing to do. If you want to find hacked sites in your city, it's not that much fun. But if you go to Google and you search like Cialis city name, Calgary, Vancouver, Victoria, Winnipeg, whatever. Generally, like at least half of the listings on the first page are going to be like local businesses to that city. It's going to be like a local roofer, a dentist, like that don't even know that their site's been hacked.
And then they just spam it with Cialis links, or they actually redirect the entire website.
No, they build like these hidden pages on it, and they're usually pretty advanced so that like if depending on how you access them, you see different things. Google sees these like spun content and whatnot. And anyway, it's generally part of a black hat SEO ploy for them to rank for some kind of drug or something. So it's fairly easy to secure sites. I know that websites.ca has a great hosting and security, but it's something that we definitely talk about, is how to make sure that doesn't happen. Cause it's not only, even after it's cleaned up, there's a lot of SEO cleanup left over afterward from spammy links that were built to pages and whatnot. So
that's interesting you bring that up, because just this week alone, I think 2 DDoS attacks on us, and I hadn't seen that for a while. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely out there. Okay, cool. No, that's a good overview to have then. So to wrap it up, I always ask, anytime we have an SEO professional, I always ask you, what's one fairly new tactic that's getting really good results right now that maybe people weren't thinking about 6 months to a year ago?
It's a good question.
I know I sort of put you on the spot there. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think, because it's like, again, I've been in SEO for about 10 years, and it's shifted so much from being tactic based, where it was, okay, well, what's working this month and how can we trick Google, into really being more about how can we build a high quality site that's going to be great for users and Google's going to recognize that and rank us high. Yeah. I think probably the biggest thing that's happening right now is related to, so there's about a year and a half, 2 years ago, Google started pushing EAT. So it stands for expertise, authority, trustworthiness. Mm-hmm. And this was kind of to prevent a lot of these affiliate sites that would be like, you know, promoting like health tips or drugs without having any experience in that space. So they're looking a lot more for like authors on blog posts, and then having those authors have author bio pages, and then having like, you know, the LinkedIn profile of that person actually have some credibility and link to the website. And they just added another E, I think in December, for experience. So now it's EEAT. And I believe that this is really to combat AI generated content. Cause with ChatGPT and like all the AI craze right now, it's impossible for an AI to write content that it has experience in. So I think it plays into the same thing, but it's gonna be more and more about showing that the author of a page has the credibility to be writing that page. That would probably be a big focus for 2023.
Would that be sort of signals from other places, like say getting interviewed by a trusted source 2 years ago on the same topic? How would they measure? How would you build a paper trail or a digital crumbs of that experience?
Yeah, no, it is that, and partly we can you can highlight it to Google in schema, which is like go on the back of the website. So you know, even you know, when this podcast goes live, you know, I might add schema to my bio page that says I've been interviewed on the websites.ca podcast, or I've spoken at an industry conference, or So it's, you know, if there's not stuff like that, we'll often go back to even education or prior work. Like, if, you know, if you're a dentist, where did you go to school? Things like that. And then, right, you know, maybe in trades, like if you're like a roofer, maybe before you started your company, you worked for another roofing company, and maybe we add that in there. So it's just, we just try to give Google as many ways as we can for them, both through schema and having that be congruent with what's on other profiles. So if the author bio page.
Or LinkedIn or even something, LinkedIn, right?
Yeah.
So. Okay. No, that kind of matches, let's say local signals, like when you do local signals and stuff to help your business profile and show up in maps, now you're going to have to do experience signals all around, sprinkled all around the internet.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. That's good to know. Jacob, I know your main agency page is firstrank.ca, which we can put a link in the description, but what would be the best place for people to go if they want to get on the waiting list for your upcoming SEO course?
Yeah. So the course, we will be launching in sometime in spring, probably in April or May.
Okay.
And so the website is firstrank.academy. And right now it's just a landing page where you can sign up for updates, but then we'll send out an email once it launches. There's a few training grants across the country in different provinces that will cover a large percentage of the cost as well. But last time we ran this, the training grant, at least the one in Manitoba, filled up in like 48 hours from the time it opened, and a lot of people missed it. So it would be a great idea to put your name on the list, and then we can send out an email as soon as that opens, if it's something that that some businesses might be interested in applying for to cover the cost of the course.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, we're going to put this episode out before the end of January. So folks who are listening, you have advance notice now. I would get in now, like Jacob said, and then he can keep you updated what's going on and stay in touch and all things like that. So last word goes to you. Is there anything you want to sort of put a fine point on for SEO starting in 2023 here?
You know what? I just say probably it's a great time to start. When was the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago was the second best time, is today. So, you know, I think it can feel insurmountable. Like there's so much established competition and it's just not going to be part of a marketing strategy, but it's amazing how time flies by. And if you get the right building blocks in place today, it's going to pay off in spades in the future.
Lovely. Jacob, thanks so much for being on here today.
Well, thanks for having me back, Sean. I really appreciate it.
If you're not satisfied with your current website or the service you get from your provider, you can switch to websites.ca for free and get a great support team behind you. Just visit websites.ca or email Ryan directly at ryan@websites.ca.
Thanks for listening, guys. Catch you next time.